But this morning I'm going to take a break from the book of 1 John, and we're going to be talking about pastors. We're talking about pastor appreciation a little bit, and in here I wanted to just take a moment to go through, and the scripture talks about this idea of shepherds, and actually the word pastor just means shepherd. And the role sort of in the church and what this all kind of do. So this morning, my head is going to be on the chopping block this morning. And I'll tell you, as you turn around and look, it's like, you know, husbands, when you turn the Bible, it says what it says about husbands. It's like this conviction that pulls into your life because here is where the standard is. And, you know, I know your wife says you don't match up, but then you start really starting to commit yourself to the Word, right? But ladies, you're not on the hook either, right? Because you turn around and you look at what the scripture says, what we should, you should be like. And it's like, oh, I'm not there quite yet. And so we look at the role of a pastor with the church and the role that God has laid out for this. And the importance of what that is. And we're going to look at this morning kind of what that isn't as well. If you want to grab your Bibles, we're going to start off in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. This is a point in Israel's history where they have had just horrible kings. We've had the kingdom divided, and in here we've had Israel, the northern part, turn around and have awful king after awful king who was leading the people astray. They were leading them in worship to other gods. They were marrying foreign women. They were just taking everything that was supposed to be right with Israel and tearing it down. And God gives them a promise here in the book of Jeremiah. It says, and I will give you shepherds, if you have a King James. It says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. We need to understand that the role of pastor, the role of the shepherd, isn't a man-made creation, but it's actually something that God has said. I kind of cringe, especially up in Maine, we're an independent group. We're a group of people who pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. No one's going to tell us what to do. And I've talked to a lot of different churches around, and they're like, you know what, we don't need a pastor. Right? We don't need that. We'll just take care of ourselves. Actually, one of the churches that we used to be at has turned around, and the last pastor they had split the church. And we had toiled there for many years. We saw great growth. We saw changes in people's lives. And to this day, it breaks both of our hearts to see how Satan has gotten in and caused a division within the body. And now they've turned around and said, look, we sold our parsonage. We don't want a pastor. We'll just have someone come and fill our pulpit, and we'll just take care of ourselves. And the church has really been struggling probably for the past, 5 years or so because of that. And I know the people pretty well, right? And so I was like, well, wait a minute. The Bible says you're supposed to have a pastor. And they're like, yeah, but, you know, pastors are pains. I don't want, amen. Oh, thank you for that. Right? He goes, pastors are expensive. He goes, we're better off without one. We need to understand that actually the role in the ministry that God has laid here is really a blessing for both. And I'm speaking not as the pastor here. Please don't get me wrong. None of this is hopefully to say this is what I am, because, you know, I've only been here a year and a half, so some of you, I still got fooled. You still like me. I'll give it a little while. Well, you know what they used to say? I remember in Bible school, there was a pastor who said, you know that first year, the people love you so much they could just eat you up. Then the second year, they wish they did. Right? And so I'll make sure that we go down through this. What I want to do is say, this is what the Word of God says, and I'm struggling in this, and as we struggle in together. But really, it talks about here that the heart of a pastor really should be the heart of God. To minister in love as God has done this. And this is just a beautiful passage. It kind of denotes that relationship all summed up here. It says, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart. And even here starts defining the role of that. Is that who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. And then we're going to look at this morning that really the responsibility of a pastor is different than what I think kind of the world is kind of framing it now. I was talking to another pastor just a couple of weeks ago. And he's a few years my senior. And we were just talking about ministry and how things have changed. And he turned around and said, you know, a lot of guys who are coming out of seminaries now or coming out of Bible schools really have a CEO mentality. You know? And they look at the church as a business. So I asked him, I said, what's your opinion on that? And he goes, God hasn't called CEOs. The church is not a business. What he says is God has called shepherds who will tend the flock. And it's a totally different thing within the scope of things. The goal here is one who will care and nurture for the flock with knowledge and with understanding. Titus makes it clear. Paul told Titus, says, look, as you go down through, the role is so important. He says, look, for this reason I left you in Crete. He left Titus there, that you should set things in order that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I command you. The role of elder and pastor is all about the same office here. That in here, it's God's command that churches have an overseer, whether it's a full-time opportunity or a part-time opportunity, but in here, to set things in order. There's an order within the church that it should have. All right? And in here, to go down through and command and give these things all out. And here, I want to give you three roles that a pastor should have. All right? Once again, I feel like my head's on the chopping block this morning because I'm challenged by these things. But also, I think it helps for you to have an expectation. The first thing I want to take a look at, if you take notes, you want to write this all down. We're going to be in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, 2 and 3. There's some passages that really God has laid out. He said, look, hey, pastor, this is for you. And the first job, the first responsibility of a pastor is, guess what? Is the shepherd. Is to shepherd the flock. You know, it's interesting, in Bible days, they were very common to have animals that were out and about, and people would tend them. The job of the shepherd wasn't a glorious job. It wasn't a prestigious job, oftentimes. It can be a downright dirty and grubby job. Now, I know we have some folks here who have... Has anyone ever had animals? I mean, I don't mean a dog or a cat. Does anyone have, like, any livestock type of animals? All right, it's a lot of work, isn't it? It's not glorious at all. And the things you end up doing can be kind of humbling along the way. Right? But in here, the ones that are successful actually have a relationship with the ones they're taking care of. And in here, Peter kind of goes on this idea. He says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Right, we're going to look at this in the next idea here. But here, the role of pastor is to oversee what's going on within the church. And so far, all the pastors are like, yeah, I like this. It's kind of like, you know, husbands, when he talks about wives submit to your husbands, and the guys are like, yeah! Right? And then it says, husbands love your wife. Oh. Right? You know? And Peter goes on explaining, because often what happens, and I just did the math yesterday. I've been pastoring for 22 years. Eek! I'm old. I've been preaching for 32 years. Aye, aye, aye. I'm a has-been. Actually, I like talking about this because you guys turn around, most of you turn around and say, oh, you're just a kid. I was like, thank you. I like that. All right. It says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. And not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. That's a totally different picture that we often see today. the role of pastor is not an ego job. It isn't, oh, the pastor's in charge, and he just kind of bosses all the minions around, and he's up on this big, huge platform looking down at me. But anyway, he talks about the pastor's heart, and I think it's really the heart of God, is to lead and minister to and care for the flock, to shepherd them. To gently come up and say, hey, you know, we need to go this way. And not by compulsion and not by greed. You know, we're not in this for the money and what we can get out of it. But in here, truly what is best for the flock. That's the pastor's heart. Because that's God's heart. You know, God is amazing in our lives. Because He could come into your life and force you to do things. You know that? But He's giving you a free will. And God is patient. I'm glad God is patient. Amen? To work in our lives. To gently nudge us sometimes. Sometimes it's not so gentle. Sometimes God says, all right, I'll give you a yank. Right? There's an old story about a guy who had a mule. He turned around and sold the mule to this other guy. He says, look, this mule is extremely obedient. Well, the guy got the mule home, and the mule wouldn't do nothing. Right? He goes, I told him. I tried to bribe him with a carrot. I tried to do everything. So he brought the donkey back. He says, look, you sold me a dud donkey. He goes, no, this is a very obedient donkey. He goes, no, I've tried everything. He won't obey. So the previous owner went over and took a 2x4 and smacked it between the eyes and told him to do something. He goes, oh, you just got to get his attention first. Sometimes I'm a donkey, right? Sometimes God has to get my attention first. But He does it out of love and caring. And we see this role, that this role of shepherd. Now, I don't know if you can see what I chose for a background. Can you make out what that is? Bowl of string. And I'm thankful that the Bible school I went to wasn't a big fancy place. And I think time frame that I had a lot of sort of old-fashioned teachers. And we were taught that the role of pastor, the shepherd, isn't a CEO. It's not a corporation. It's not about the numbers. It's always about the people. And we had one of our professors turn around and he goes, always remembering, a congregation is like string. Now, I'm all mixing metaphors here, right? He goes, but a congregation is string. He goes, to effectively cause it to do what you want it to do. He goes, you cannot push a string. Try it. This afternoon, laying around, just take a piece of string and lay it down and try to push it where you want it to go. He goes, it causes a mess. He goes, but if you grab it by the front and you pull it, it will follow. He goes, pastors, always remember, lead your flock. Don't push them. The heart of a pastor says, hey, you know what? Let's go. The heart of a pastor says, we're in this together. The heart of a pastor leads by example. Because that's God's heart. Second role we see within the pastor right here is to watch over our souls. In Hebrews chapter 13, there's another passage here written to pastors. It says, look, this is talking about the congregants. It says, obey those who rule over you. Be submissive. So you watch out over your souls. Once again, this is one of the passages. The pastor's like, yes, you know, submit to tell them to obey me. Yeah, all right, wait, hold on. But the reason why he says, look, what happens is, so they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. And let them do so with joy and not with grief, for it would be unprofitable for you. That in here, One of the roles of a pastor is to watch over the souls of those that are in the flock. That in here, a pastor's heart is one who wants to know what you're going through and comes alongside with you. One who's willing to say, you know what, that ain't good. One who will come along and take the Word of God and apply it to what's going on in your life. You know, I'm sure you've sat in church sometimes. And I remember, especially when I was a younger kid, you sit there and you hear a message that it must have been good because you used really big fancy words. Right? And the message is kind of like way up here, and you kind of walk down and said, well, that was good, but how does that apply to me? A pastor's heart should be one that watches over the souls, that gives you the word in a way that it touches you. And the only way a pastor can do that is to know you. Who's familiar with the congregation, who loves the congregation and knows the needs and watches out for your very soul. You know, over the years, I've met a lot of different pastors. And I'd say at least 90% of them really want to do what's best for the church. Now, the church doesn't always perceive it that way. And sometimes it's not always carried out well. But what is best? Not for their own ego, not best for their prestige, not best for their ambitions. What is best for the souls of the congregation? We need to remember that the church is about souls. The souls that are here, the souls that are outside the doors. That what we do is have eternal value. We always got to remember that. And how is this going to further the kingdom of God? Get on here, is it just me? The last thing that a pastor is supposed to do is preach the word. Paul told Timothy, the young pastor, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Preach the word. That part of the responsibility is to be able to prepare it and serve it. You know, I love that illustration of using the Word of God as food. Right? And in here, that sometimes, you know, you got to give the milk. Or sometimes those who are young need to cut it up in little tiny pieces. Or sometimes you need a big hearty meal. As the weather gets cooler, all, you know, I like things that stick to your ribs. Unfortunately, it's fallen a little lower than my ribs, but you know, I get into the soups and the, all that kind of stuff, that good, hearty meal that just kind of gets you through it, right? The heart of a pastor needs to be one that he wants you to understand and preach the word, all of it. Some of it I want to hear, some of it I don't want to hear. But one who's going to be honest in giving me the whole counsel of God. And make it a way that's digestible and understandable. The heart of a pastor. All this sounds pretty wonderful, doesn't it? Talk about the role and talk about all those things and dun, dun, dun. Yeah, no. Oftentimes, what happens is the Bible sets up the standard, and woe is me, we fall short. But God's mercy and His grace is great, that in our weakness, He's made strong. Because already this morning, you're like, you know, Pastor, you've only been here a year and a half, you went through all these things, and man, Pastor, you've already blown it. Can I tell you something? There's no super pastor. Now, like I said, a year and a half ago, you guys did a pulpit committee, went through and searched for that. I found this letter. And this is, took a survey. And they found out this is what the perfect pastor is. He pleases everyone. Preaches exactly 20 minutes. Preaches with conviction, but no one is ever offended. He's 30 years old with 50 years of experience. He's tall but short, thin but heavy. Has one brown eye, one blue eye. He parts his hair in the middle, straight on one side, wavy on the other, with a bald spot to reveal he's mature. He has a burning desire to work with the teens, but spends all his time with the senior citizens. He invests 25 hours a week in sermons, preparation, 20 hours for counseling, 10 hours in meetings, 5 hours in emergency, 20 hours in visitation, 6 hours in funeral, 30 hours in prayer, 12 hours in correspondence, and 10 hours in creative thinking, plus spends time with his family. He's always out on visitation, but always available in his office. He's talented, gifted, scholarly, practical, popular, compassionate, understanding, patient, level-headed, dependable, loving, caring, neat, organized, cheerful, and above all, humble. The point is, guess what? Is there a perfect pastor? No, there's not. And that's why the scriptures talk about the heart of a pastor. And in here, there's just areas I'm going to just take a little bit of time this morning, because beyond all these things, there's a real person behind all of this. And here we need to realize that no one is perfect. And in here, we talk about pastor appreciation. And I want to use these things, one, because I want you to understand where a pastor is coming from, but also how to pray for your pastor. Because your pastor needs it. Because oftentimes we talk about the ideal pastor. We talk about all these things, what the Bible talks about. And we forget behind all of this, there is a real person with real things. I got three things this morning. Three things kind of what the pastor is not. One, he says he's not the mediator. What I mean by that is the goal of a pastor isn't to become between you and God. Right? While you want the pastor to pray for you, but your prayers need to be to God. That in here, oftentimes why I found out that the pastor doesn't have an answer for everything, but it's God who does. That in life, the buck doesn't stop here, but my goal is to bring you to God, not just to me. I'm not the mediator. I can't be God for you. First Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. Who's that? Jesus Christ. That in all this, the goal isn't to elevate a man. A good pastor will say, you know what, my goal is just like John the Baptist. He must increase and I must decrease. When I make church about me, then I've made the focus wrong. It should always be about Him. Second thing. He says, I'm just a man. It's interesting. A gentleman came to Jesus in the book of Mark and said, so Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? And he came to him and said, hey, good teacher. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's only one good, that's God in heaven. Right? I'm not a good person. My thoughts, my actions, I can be selfish. I can get angry. I can be self-centered. If any of that sounds familiar, because guess what? You all can be that way too. That's why we need the Lord. That in here, people are shocked that pastors are sinners. I remember my first church, I was just a young guy. I was a young pastor, 28. And I talked about what Paul talked about. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And one of my deacons pulled me aside afterwards and says, "We don't want a pastor who's a sinner." And I said, "Well, I'll resign then." And his wife was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." Guess what? There's none righteous, no, not one. Especially the guy who's standing behind the pulpit. I have temptations. I have desires. I'll let you down. I'll forget. I'll lose courage when I need to be bold. You know, I'm here as long as the Lord wants me here. And in the middle of that, you're going to see I'm probably a lot like you. I have the need to be loved, to be appreciated, just like you do. And I'll let you down. I'm not planning on it. But I'm just a man. I'm going to need forgiveness, understanding. How do I know these things? Because that's what you want, isn't it? And how about you, bud? I want to be in this all together. As a body, seeking out the Lord and what He wants. Last thing I want to point out. That in here, the Bible talks about not only do I am a man, but also I have a family and balancing church and home. Like I said, I've been doing this for 22 years and I'm not very good sometimes at trying to balance all this all out. In the midst of all this, you know who has the hardest job? It's the pastor's wife. Oftentimes she has to share me with a congregation of 40, 50, 60 people. And in this to share, and over the years, it's caused friction. Sometimes I need a reminder. As a church, I need someone to realize as well that I have a family I need to take care of and protect as well. Paul talks about this in Corinthians chapter 7. He says, And sometimes pastors can talk. He says, "But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord." And Paul talks about the idea of singleness. And says, look, a guy who is single or a lady who is single can spend all their time serving God. He says, "But he who is married cares about the things of this world, how he may please his wife." My wife says, "Amen. I'm working on it." But there's a balance. Over the years, I've met more pastors who ended up losing their families because of the church. I've known pastor kids who have rebelled and want nothing to do with God because God stole their dad. Can I tell you something? I can be the best pastor in the world, but if I'm a horrible husband and father, I have not succeeded in my life. Do you believe that? Paul tells Timothy, "So if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever." That balance of wearing all these hats and not be able to be everything to everyone. You know, I'm humbled that I said, "Oh, Pastor, we want to have a pastor appreciation, and we're going to go next door and and have a meal that you guys have wonderfully prepared. And it's all cupcakes. Did I mention cupcakes? There's cupcakes. And while it's important for a church to realize the importance of the role that God has laid here, but what I really want to know is while we're here, what I want you to know is my heart. Because along the way, that's what's going to last. And while we're here, the Lord has asked us to minister. Jeremiah, I will give you shepherds or pastors according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. What a challenge that is. You know, we live in a day and age where so many churches look at pastors as disposable. If we don't like this guy, we'll just get the new one. All right? We recycle them. We're tired of them. Something else. You know, there's a lot of bad churches that's out there. And there's a lot of pastors that's out there as well. I knew one guy, he says, I spent 3 years at a church. He goes, that way I can get a bigger church each time. So I'm on a, he was on a 10-year plan to be in a big church. Stepping stone. That's not a way to be either. And there's bad pastors. I think what they need to do is develop an eharmony.church and put the bad pastors in with bad churches and let them just kind of have their own thing, right? But we look at this balance. We look at what God has given here. It's a beautiful thing when it works well. But it's also something where we need God's supernatural love and God's supernatural grace to bind us together. And let us not forget that Satan is a roaring lion and he would love to tear everything apart. And join with me in praying and say, Lord, don't let me be that foothold for Satan. As we plunge on, we go on and trudge on for the glory and honor of God. Because this is His church. He's the shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And we are just sheep following Him. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for Your watch care for us. Lord, I pray for all of us as a body of believers to follow You. Keep our eyes upon You. Lord, I pray for this church body. Bind us together in love. Help us to grow in knowledge and in truth. Lord, I pray for the man behind this pulpit. Lord, I know his flaws. Lord, I know his shortcomings. Lord, I pray You give him Your heart. Lord, help him to love You, to love Your word. And Lord, love the sheep. And in all this, Lord, that You get all the glory. And You get all the praise. And all God's people said, Amen.